This is CKCU Literary News, bringing you the latest on literatures in Europe today.
Almost time for the annual CKCU funding drive, this year running from October 25th through till November 10th.
Here's your host, Hans-George Ruprecht.
Frederike Knabe, for our senior correspondent, it is the time of the year because you work at the Ottawa International Writers Festival. You are following the German Book Prize. But now it is the Man Booker Prize. So welcome again, and I am delighted that you help us out today.
Well, thank you very much, Hans. It's a great pleasure to talk to you again. And indeed, fall is always a very, very busy time for book lovers, and so we concentrate on the Booker Prize today.
Right. So it will be announced today, later today, right? So we are
exactly.
On target.
We are on target completely.
What is the shortlist?
The shortlist is very interesting this year, and it was announced in September, and it's more diverse in many ways than maybe previous Booker Prizes. There are 6 books that are in the shortlist, and they're as diverse as can be imagined. It includes the more traditional English and Irish and Commonwealth writers, but it also brings in a young woman from Zimbabwe. It brings in a young woman from India who lives in the United States.
And a Canadian author.
And of course, it has a Japanese-Canadian author as well. So we have a much broader range. And we will be talking a bit more about the future of the Man Booker Prize later, and which I think the trend is already visible. The judge of the panel, the jury, has decided, when he announced the shortlist, he said, "We were drawn to novels that sought to extend the possibilities of the form. We wanted novels. And that is exactly what they found. 6 books that resist generic categories and divert from formal expectations."
This was a quote from the chair of the judges, Robert McFarlane, who is an academic. And, he is at Cambridge, where he teaches and lectures on Anglo-American fiction since 1945, and is a postmodern theoretician. So he is making a point there, right? How do you see his remark? What is your take?
Yeah, I think they, of course, he is not the only one. I mean, it's a jury, and every
right.
year it's a different jury. But I think this current jury has taken some lessons from last year when there was not that much diversity, and there was a lot of criticism afterwards that very important books had been left off the list. So this new jury with Robert McFarlane really made a point of looking where could the novel go, because they're all novels, but they're vary from 850 pages to 100 pages. And they deal with issues that are historical, they deal with issues that are more fantasy, they deal with migration issues, like multicultural, cross-cultural issues. So it's a great diversity of themes and approaches. And so I think they took, and apparently the shortlist was unanimous decision of the panel to choose those 6 books.
Well, let's go through the shortlist. Who are the authors?
So let's go to the ones maybe we know best. Traditionally, Colm Tóibín, who is Irish and who's been on the shortlist before and has been winning awards. His book is a very short book, and it's called The Testament of Mary. And it is the mother of Jesus he's talking about how she copes with the death of her son. And so that is a very, very well-known name, of course, for us. Maybe lesser known, but in England, very well-known, is Jim Crace. He's also a very experienced writer and has been shortlisted for the Booker Prize before, as well as for other prizes.
His title is The Harvest.
The Harvest.
Published by Picador, right?
It is, yeah, it's published by a couple of publishers, but I think the original was not Picador, I don't think.
All right, okay.
Anyway, and he is somebody who is a real wordsmith, and he does take current concerns and issues and translates them into a place that it can be magical and it can be historical, but it is always links with fantasies and it deals with very serious issues. And this current book, Harvest, as the title suggests, it deals with the agricultural communities in the 17th century in not England, but an sort of imagined type of England landscape. And it's the conflicts and how changes occur with the slow urbanization and industrialization, what it does to this community.
As if this were a case in point to cope with the situations of the agricultural sector today.
Huh? Yes, absolutely.
It's interesting. This is strategy to pick an historic kind of situation to address the issues of today. Huh?
Yes, I mean, he does that. That's his theme usually, and they're very diverse books that he writes, but they're beautifully written. And so he actually, not surprisingly, is the bookmaker's favorite right now. I mean, the bets of him winning the prize are very high. Mm-hmm. So personally, I hope that he does get the prize this year.
Tell us just a little more about the bookies or the bookmakers.
That's a very old tradition in England, that everything that has, where you can have bets, you have bets. And of course, all the prizes have betting going on. The moment the shortlist was announced, there were bets on who might win, and the bookmakers been collecting that. And it influences, of course, the journalists to write about the books in some ways, or they criticize it. But it will be very interesting to see whether they are right this time.
Well, we will hear it tonight.
And we will hear it later today. Yes,
yes.
Exactly. Okay, so that's the two of them. That's the more sort of, let's say, the British central Britain. Then we got into some very young authors, like Eleanor Catton. She's only in her late 20s. It's her third book, but her second book became quite well known. And this is a book about New Zealand, and it's a historical novel called The Luminaries. And it's a massive book. It's, almost 850 pages.
Impressive.
And deals with the exposure to different cultures of the Maori, the Europeans, various other cultures that get together, and how they develop their living situation. It's very brand new, so very few people actually have been able to read it other than the jury.
Published by Granata, right?
Yes, yes. And it's quite an extraordinary book. And then the next one is very interesting as well, a young author. She is Ruth Ozeki. She was born in the States, but with an American father and a Japanese mother. But she then moved to England, and she now was ordained as a Zen Buddhist priest and lives in British Columbia, here in Canada. And she's written a book about two women characters. One is in British Columbia, and the other one is historical figure in Japan, that a young girl who writes a diary, and that diary is swept with, I guess, the waves of the tsunami over to the West British Columbian coast, and this young woman finds this diary, and you see the stories enveloping from that.
Her title again is
the title is
of Ruth Ozeki, A Tale for the Time Being.
Yeah, and this is interesting because the time being is, if you put it together as a word, it's a word in Japanese. The time being is somebody who lives in the present time. And so she plays with those words. It's not a time being, but it's a time being as well as the time. It's very quite fascinating.
Yes.
So then we get to Jhumpa Lahiri, who was born in England and has Indian parents, but has been living in the United States for a long time. And she talks about the immigration issues for Indians in America. But that's sort of a general theme for her. And we can talk about, when we talk about the expansion of the Bukka, I think somebody like her will be clearly a theme, because you can argue why she was in that particular shortlist of books. Last but not least, we get to Noviola Bulawayo, who is from Zimbabwe and now has been living in the States, United States, for a while. But she is a first-time novelist.
Is that right?
Yes, absolutely extraordinary, if you think about it. She won the Cain Prize in 2011 with a short story, which is the Cain Prize for African Writing always awards prizes for short stories, and she won this prize, and this became the first chapter in her novel.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's a very recent novelist, and very, very excited. Of course, she's gone back to Zimbabwe for the first time, and she's tried to, she found finally a Zimbabwean publisher.
And this must have been difficult.
It was difficult, she says, yeah. And she did a launch, and it was a great success, of course. And she's now motivating other young writers to follow in her footsteps.
Where is she now established?
She is currently in San Francisco. She has a Stegner Fellowship in San Francisco.
Great, great.
And so, yeah, so she's, of course, at the moment she's traveling all over the place. But and she's been at the Cape Town Festival, Book Festival. And there's a lot of new development in Africa in terms of writing. It's a very, very exciting time.
Well, this would be a case in point to welcome the decision of the Man Booker Prize to open up, to expand, right? Because for the first time, they have invited authors from all over the world, basically, writing in English.
Yes, I think that is really sort of maybe the transition year this year, that they've opened it up already, because Jhumpa Lahiri is more American-like than Commonwealth. And so also Ruth Ozeki has a very strong American background, even though she now lives in Canada. So I think that is the testing ground now, and it is makes sense to do a book prize that is open to English language literature, broader than just Britain, Ireland, and the Commonwealth, because people travel, people move, people transition between one country and another, and there's still roots, and there are strong roots often, but we're living in an integrated world, and we move around, and so it will be important to develop that, to have the prize reflect that kind of movement in the world where we all are part of global citizens.
I'm wondering what this will mean on the long run for writing in English. Could one imagine now a number of authors in Latin America or in Asia or in other parts of the world, even from the Francophone world, to say, well, if I want to make it on the international stage, I change the language and I write in English. It is possible for many writers, as we know. So could you foresee this?
Well, I'm not sure that that's the way they're going to move forward. I think they will stay really grounded in the English language. Because I think it depends a lot on the mandate of the Booker Prize, of course.
And which is what?
I think the Booker Prize will always have a separate role. And the Booker Prize judges, although they change every year, have a certain mandate to really find the best novels in English at any given time period that they describe. And so it will be up to them to decide whether this can be a global prize. I'm sure they do not want to compete with other global prizes that exist, and they want to maintain a certain integrity of their perspective. But you don't know. Maybe it will open up into other ways.
Well, one would at least expect that the jury, the judges, will come from different parts of the world, because this jury, consists of academics, British academics, and BBC journalists. and a writer. So while one should, I think, consider the option of bringing in literary critics from Australia or from Africa or from other parts of the world.
Now, that will be a challenge to present to the Booker organizers and hosts. At the moment, it is a British-initiated prize, and maybe there could be a broadening. But at the same time, there are many other prizes that could also be internationalized.
Well, if I would have a say, I would recommend Friederike Knabe, not a senior correspondent, on the jury for the Man Booker Prize.
Well, I think that's very unlikely, even though it would be great fun to do that.
I imagine.
But then the other big prizes, like the Impact Prize in Ireland, would be a prize that could reflect literature globally, and it can be in translation or in English. And there are other prizes developing. There's going to be African prizes that are going to be multilingual. So it is really a trend. So I think the Booker will have the challenge to maintain the quality of judging and selecting what fits into their framework, and that is going to be the key criteria, and I think that will be maintaining.
Well, I think one can only welcome this expansion, this opening of the Man Booker Prize to the English speaking world at large. And our next show will deal with the Ottawa International Writers Festival.
Yes, which just is also very interesting. Writers Festival is, I mean, the Ottawa Writers Festival is now the biggest independent writers festival in Canada. And it brings together books and authors covering different genres and different areas. And it's a very exciting development.
And it's growing, right?
It is growing all the time. It is co-sponsored by Carleton University.
Of course, yes.
And various other
organizations.
CKCU is involved. And also it gets funding from a range of groups. And it has this absolutely unique program attached to it that the authors are also going to schools. And they're speaking to school classes, and it's thousands of students not only in Ottawa and the whole region who get exposed to talking to real authors,
right,
and get motivated. Right, right. And apparently that is already, we can see changes in attitude with kids who didn't want to read, and suddenly they want to read the books of the author who stands in front of them. And that's part of the literature program that we're promoting.
This year's event was, of course, Margaret Atwood talking and presenting her new book. It's the final volume on
the trilogy, Mad Adam.
Right. Yes. This was really the event, and we will talk about this later.
Yes, we will.
Thank you so much for being
You're
on the show
welcome,
again.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you, Hans. See you soon.
Bye-bye. Bye.
That was CKCU Literary News, a regular program about literatures in Europe today, brought to you by CKCU FM 93.1, the community-based campus radio of Carleton University in Ottawa, Canada. We can be heard worldwide. Simply go to http://carleton.ca/litnews/ for streaming and podcast. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter under CKCU Lit News in one word. Thanks for listening.
You provide the ding, we provide the fun, you provide the ding, we provide the fun, and you provide the ding, a ding, a ding-a-ling ding of the phones. That is Funding Drive, Funding Drive, Funding Drive. We provide the fun, you provide the ding.
It's almost time for the annual CKCU Funding Drive, this year running from October 25th through till November 10th.